Welcome to the Future of Healthcare, Live with Intent podcast with Thomas Reichart and Justin Tomlinson, authors of Live with Intent and architects of the LWI Learning Pathway. Today, Thomas and Justin speak with Fernando Gordo Jimenez, Global Head of Network, Voice Services, and Facilities IT at Roche. Fernando is a thought leader in the digital transformation sweeping through healthcare. Providing the most innovative technology and infrastructure to users around the world requires top talent, a vast network of partnerships, and integrated processes. Fernando is on the forefront of shaping what the technological future will look like for large global healthcare providers.
Welcome, Fernando. It's so great to have you on our podcast today. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to you then, Thomas and Justin, to this session.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to spend this little time with you.
And Thomas, thanks for introducing me to Fernando.
My pleasure. It's been wonderful working with you, Fernando, the last 2.5 years with you and your team. You strike me as one of those leaders that have a deeper approach to what's happening and what you're doing. And I'm excited to hear more of that. And I'm sure our listeners will be excited to hear more about that. We typically like to start by giving our listeners a brief understanding of where you come from, what shaped your life, and how you ended up in healthcare. Can we start with your story, Fernando?
Yes, for sure. And indeed, I'm convinced that, of course, we shape our professional lives based on our experience. So that means I'm happy to start by saying that I grew up in Belgium. So that means I was, in a way, exposed to different cultures, different languages since I was a kid. So and I think this made quite a difference to me, because then I naturally moved and actually started working for multinationals. I really enjoyed since the beginning, you know, these different cultures, different ways of working, and I then had the opportunity to be serving in telecom operators, then also manufacturers. But with no disrespect, I believe that being now part of Roche and this pharma sector makes a big difference, because for me, I see a different purpose to my job. I can truly, you know, support and help the patients. So this is not disrespectful to any other industry, but I have the opportunity this time to contribute to patients' lives.
Fernando, I lived in Belgium for 8 years as well, and my kids grew up there. My youngest was even born there. So we were in the city of Overijse. What part of Belgium were you in?
I mean, we were probably, I think it is 5 kilometers away, because I lived, and actually I spent 23 years of my life there in Wavre. And you probably know Wavre has got both a French and a Flemish name, because Wavre is next to the border, the linguistic border. So I know Overijse very well.
And I know Wavre very well, especially the Italian restaurant with the greatest cordon bleu we've ever had.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I still have a brother who lives in Wavre, and I visit him on a regular basis. So,
oh, that's great. What about one of the things that I always find interesting is how we describe what we do to our kids. So how do you explain your work to your family?
So as I just mentioned before, I try to relate my daily job to improving patients' lives. So when I explain it to my family, in particular to my two sons, I'm trying to explain that I am part of a team or an organization that uses technology to deliver IT infrastructure and services to multiple organizations within Roche. And this could go from manufacturing sites, labs, internal, external users, but in order to support their daily activities, so we can deliver the goods on time, the drugs on time, but also deliver, you know, the right diagnostics solutions for our patients. I hope this illustrates well what we're doing, what I'm trying to do.
Excellent and simple. Even I understand. How did you get into IT in the first place? What led you to even become an expert in the technology field?
Well, I probably followed, you know, a trend in the industry. I think my beginning in this business was more in the purely, let's say, electronics field. You know, I started working for a vendor in the purely, you know, electronics field. But then I think the IT sector in that time was kind of booming. So I saw the interest of, you know, moving more into this IT, but I will also include the telecom part of the IT as well. And again, I mean, it was for me a natural journey. You know, I didn't have to look for something very special. So I found opportunities first within the same organization, but then at some point, yes, I decided to move to another organization because I thought the path for IT was the right thing for me.
And were you originally like a program, or you just loved all the devices, or what is it in school that caused you to say, hey, you know what? I want to be part of the digital revolution.
Yes, thanks for the question, because I remember very well when I was, well, a kid, I'm not even a teenager, I always wanted to experiment with technology. Yeah, and still today, if I may, because I just finished, you know, a solar heater for my pool. So I still want to, you know, learn things about technology and then see how we can apply it to different cases. Now it's my pool, but it could be anything. And I remember very well, and now, well, that's really interesting because I'm just trying to recall the person who brought me into this like of magic of technology was my grandpa. My grandpa was also really fond of learning technology. And I remember very well him sharing, you know, some books about electronics, radios that you would build yourself. So it's funny. I never realized, but now I'm just thinking, and it was my grandpa who brought me actually at some point, and I was probably like 10 or 12 years old when I started into technology area.
Well, no, he'd be proud of you today. From what I understand from Thomas, you're quite the thought leader in this space.
Thank you.
And that's, I think, what will interest our listeners to understand what's your secret of being productive, what drives you. You're managing three different functions today. You're serving in agile sprints. You shape corporate redesigns. You stand in for other executives. And in the middle of all that, you teach at the prestigious IE University in Spain. How do you bring this together? What's your secret of being productive at that level?
Well, what I'm always trying is to share, you know, whatever I know, and also to contribute as much as I can. But at the same time, as I just said earlier, I'm really ready to learn, you know, new things on a daily basis. So I think nothing is more gratifying than sharing whatever you know with other people and help them face challenges. Both at work and in life. So I am also I'm part of the mentorship program at Roche precisely for this very same reason. So if I can help, I'm more than happy. But the funny thing is that at all of these mentorship sessions, I mean, it's not me like sharing, it's me learning at the same time. So this is what makes, I would say, most of our interactions with different people so interesting. You know, it's you know, this bi-directional learning experience But we need to be mindful about this. So it requires sometimes some focus. I mean, you need to really have mindful conversations with people so that, yes, you share, but then you also, you know, learn from these interactions.
Looks like learning and teaching really gives you a lot of energy. And Justin, we always say, right, if somebody has a personal horizon and they really chase it, that makes them so much more effective in the professional life. So I see in Fernando the rock musician, the person that plays in a band. And whenever there's a face-to-face and we're live, you know, he's like a sports teacher. He jogs, he runs, he's always in sports. So it's like, it looks to me like those two areas really help you with your energy level as well.
Well, definitely. I mean, you and I, Thomas, have talked at length about how important it is to make sure that we have a good balance, you know, in our lives. Of course, not always easy to achieve, but to make sure, yes, we work hard, definitely. But also, as I say, we just need to party and enjoy as hard as well to find this balance. Otherwise, I mean, at some point, you know, it's not working. So we all have to find, you know, this hobby or this activity that help us finding the balance. And it can be reading a book, going for golf playing, spending time with the family, playing music, as I'm doing in my case. But it's crucial for us, you know, to really find this balance in life, actually.
There's actually research as well that shows that the more hobbies we have and the more interests we have, the more our problem-solving capacity raises at the job, right? What a wonderful connection that is. You're in the middle of transformation. You're in the middle of the future of the way of work. I think it's okay to say that Roche is 10 years ahead of the curve compared to many other organizations. We talk about functional managers. We talk about chapters. We talk about chapter leads. I mean, how does that all work in the future and who does what? Do you have a picture of how that's going to be like in the future?
I wish I had, but no, what I mean that I believe that we will have to make it work and adapt to whatever, you know, the needs will be. I mean by that, you know, there's no such a perfect model or perfect organization chart that we say, yeah, that's what we need at Roche. Clearly not, right? So I think the best we can do, and I believe this is what we're doing, is to use some framework, right? And then adapt and shape our organization to our needs. And to some point, this, let's call it agile framework, I believe is a good reference model, because it gives the possibility to our different teams and organization to quickly adapt to the needs. I don't think, you know, it's the time of setting, you know, whatever model in place and leave it for the next 5 years. That's not the way business runs today. So we need to have whatever model in place that allows for this quick reaction, quick adaptation to needs. I mean, we know the market is just like, well, very dynamic. So we need to have whatever organization in place that is as dynamic as the business requires. Otherwise, there will be a mismatch. So, I mean, to the question, what is it going to look like? I don't think too many people would know today because we are just building it, honestly, as we speak. But I think this will be flexible enough, adaptable enough, so that we can really, you know, make sure that the Roche for the next, whatever, 10 or 15 years can truly follow the needs of our business.
So making the impossible possible in the future work designs, could it be that we could learn from the experience of your team and the example of your team last Easter? Last year, when the pandemic hit, you were charged with an incredibly urgent, important, and mission-critical task to enable infrastructure overnight on a digital way for thousands of people and thousands of users. What have you learned about how your team performed and excelled in the middle of all of that, even so that you had feedback from absolute top management confirming that you're onto something there. What happened there with your team and yourself?
Yeah, we've reflected many times about this experience, this situation, and how could we learn from what happened. I also want to give the credit of this achievement to other teams. Yeah, it was not just my team, so it was a collective effort. But if there is one learning, I would say that when people have got a clear purpose and a clear context of what needs to be done, it's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, we talk about self-managed teams, you know, having teams working, you know, autonomously and so on. As soon as you give the team a clear purpose, a clear objective in a way of what needs to be done, I mean, things in this case, I would say, magically happen because, you know, everybody's absolutely focused, and then you will see ideas coming and being generated simply because it's so clear what we need to do. Oftentimes, I mean, in our organizations, we have too many objectives, sometimes even conflicting objectives. And this is where, of course, teams get lost. Performance, you know, goes down. It's important we try to maybe simplify a bit the approach in the way we set objectives and reduce it to a few. Otherwise, no wonder people and teams get lost. You know, with so many objectives, what is the priority? But in this case, it was obvious. You know, almost overnight, we had to deliver collectively, again, not just my team, but, you know, remote connectivity to close to, say, 100,000 employees at Roche. So that was clear, obvious. We had a list of issues long, like, you know, but, you know, everybody had it so clear, tackling one by one, because the objective, the final goal was absolutely clear. So the learning here, and we have reflected a lot with different managers at Roche. I mean, the learning from this situation is probably, let's make it simpler for the teams to know what they've got to do. And then, you know, they will excel.
It doesn't just sound to me like that, but it looks to me, and I've seen you almost on the job continually and almost like a daily ritual, always work on the team development, always work with your leaders on the team performance, so that it's almost like a natural real-time development process rather than this standalone, let's do team development now. It looks to me like that's an ongoing nerve or an ongoing muscle that you're training with your leaders.
Yes, I mean, I'm a true believer of, at the end, whatever is achieved in an organization is through people, through your team. That means you have to make sure that they can really perform or even outperform, right? And giving the context, as I mentioned earlier, for me, it's crucial. So giving, you know, the why something is required. And in this case, it's important in our organization to make it visible to our team how they contribute actually to our broader purpose. You know, as I said earlier, you know, helping patients, making the life better, right? Sometimes it's actually not easy, but it's our duty as managers and leadership to connect these dots, you know, because someone sitting in his desk and just making a configuration of a server probably do not really connect, you know, his or her daily activity to indeed the impact this could have on a patient that will get a diagnostics or a drug delivered on time. So I think as leaders, we need to make sure that we somehow connect these two parts. So the day-to-day activities, which might be just a small chunk of, you know, a bigger activity that contributes to our final purpose.
You know, it's interesting, Fernando, to hear about that connectivity, not only between people and purpose, but across multiple teams. And in preparation for this call with you today, I asked Thomas, hey, Thomas, what is Fernando's real gift? What is he the best at? And Thomas's response was something like, you know, what's interesting after watching Roche and working with Roche for 20 years to see that the IT function has gone from being more like a supporting function outside of the business to a really integrated function within the business where you're no longer really business partners because you're actually part of the business. And Thomas said, your gift, your unique contribution is your ability to be part of the business and to move and flow with this very global, very large, complex organization handling a complex scientific topic. And you're not on the outside as an IT partner. You're part of the business making that all work. And I think that's really interesting and something that our listeners could benefit from to understand, how does that mindset work? How do you go from being an internal provider to being truly part of this scientific business?
Yes, I mean, definitely IT has moved from being like, you know, yeah, a support function to be, well, sometimes people call it as an enabler for the business, but I pretty much like what you said, we are part of the business. So it's not even an enabler. We are part of the production chain, if you like. And the way I see IT contributing in this activity is by understanding the needs. And you only understand the needs if you are interacting with people, getting to know what are the challenges, improvements, whatever needs to be done in the future. Otherwise, you know, we know often activities, projects, I mean, multi-million projects are delivered at the end, no one uses, or it's, you know, not really used as it should be. So that's why, you know, having this understanding of what are the real challenges, the real needs, make sure that you focus your efforts, your investments, your people, everything you have, your resources towards what really helps the business. And this is for me the reason for being, you know, interacting with our business colleagues as much as possible, really to make sure we are bringing the most of the value that IT can bring. And again, I mean, technology can now bring lots of advantages to this scientific world, as you said, but we could be working on something that is not supporting at all the business. So this interaction for me ensures that we are focusing on the right things.
So sometimes for me, when I work with technology people, it feels very conceptual, like artificial intelligence. And somehow what I understand is you and your teams, your ecosystem have been successful at getting beyond the conceptual into the very practical, where it's tangible even for other parts of the business, say in research or development. And could you say anything about that? How you keep your teams practical and not just conceptual?
Yes, I mean, again, it's about having insights of what Roche needs. Because again, you mentioned, you know, artificial intelligence, big data, cloud, any of these, let's say, emerging technologies will have different use cases depending on the industry, right? Roche will take benefit of these big data, cloud, and any other emerging technologies in a very particular way, which will be very different to what BMW will do as an example, right? Because each industry has, of course, some specific challenges and also will take some clear benefits from this technology only if we manage to apply it to our needs. I mean, of course, you are very familiar with the personal healthcare, you know, concept that we started, you know, using at Roche. Again, I mean, this is very particular to our business. I mean, and of course, to be able to deliver personal healthcare solutions, we will use all these technologies, artificial intelligence, big data, you name it. But it will be for this particular use case. So for me, the logic is indeed, you know, understanding the needs for our business, for what Roche wants to be delivering to our patients, and then bring, you know, all these different pieces from the technology to be able to meet these requirements. I hope it makes sense.
Perfect. Perfect sense.
Thank you, Fernando. And in being so closely tied with the business, you are connected in the Silicon Valley, you're connected in Madrid, in Basel, in Asia Pacific, in all the most important hubs of this world where technology is being thought, developed, and prepared. Now, from the eye of the patient and from the healthcare industry, what are the major impacts that you see from your cockpit? What's going to shift? What's going to transform because of the use of innovation and technology? You know, how will technology combined with being innovative shape the healthcare industry? What can we expect as people that will profit from a good healthcare system?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, one of the big areas where we as patients would benefit from technology is probably the personalized healthcare, because this will make, on one side, some treatments to be, well, specific. That means, you know, very tailor-made, if I may, but also we will get these solutions much faster. I mean, today we know sometimes we need to wait for too long to get a diagnostic to be released. Now, with the help of technology, we will be able to get first this diagnostic to be made much quicker, but then as a result, a very personalized treatment that will indeed have, you know, a much higher degree of efficacy. So, of course, I'm not an expert in pharma as such, but the way I see technology supporting patients' life is indeed to make sure that we can, you know, get the drugs, you know, faster in a more reliable way to each of the individuals, instead of having, you know, something that is broadly administer to a community of patients. In this case, it will be much more specific.
Thank you. And we're excited to be part of that and to see that in the different countries. Now, the people that work with you, that see that you have a human touch in the transformation, that you care about them, they actually say that you're an idealist when it comes to people in organizations. Are you an idealist?
Possibly, but only partly, if I may. I think that I am still, you know, quite realistic as well. So I truly believe that, and I'm repeating myself probably, but I'm a believer in people. That means things can only be achieved in a team or in an organization if the people is motivated, is really engaged. And the best way to have people motivated, engaged is again, you know, showing how they can contribute to the broader purpose. And I mean, of course, it's not easy. That's our main duty as leaders, is to connect these dots, you know, because Otherwise, I mean, people will be left on their activity, on configuring whatever servers, as I mentioned earlier. But it's important that they can connect this activity with a broader purpose. And I mean, from experience, when you have this context properly explained to the teams, I mean, naturally, I mean, people would say, yeah, I want to help. I want to support. I want to contribute. So it's important to show this. How can everybody contribute and bring value, you know, to the organization?
Hey, Fernando, I'm just wondering if your grandfather were to hear this conversation, would there be anything that would surprise him?
Wow, that's an interesting one. Well, maybe one thing that would surprise him is how many countries I have traveled around the world. Because, you know, my grandpa was from a little town in the south of Spain. Of course, it was a completely different period in time. But back 60, 70 years ago, I mean, your traveling, you know, area was probably 50 kilometers the most. In my case, I mean, it's really, you know, the whole globe. I've traveled to really incredible places. So that's probably something that will, if he could see me now, say, well, how did you manage to go to so many different places?
And what part of what you do would he be most excited about?
Well, probably technology. From what I can remember, I mean, he was really one of these persons that enjoyed so much, you know, experimenting with technology. And of course, I mean, 50, 60 years back, I mean, technology was at a completely different level. But still, I remember, I mean, we both, I mean, worked on some very, you know, interesting experiments already. And I was probably, yeah, I'm not sure, but 6-7 years old.
That's great.
So if he asks you, what kind of movie are you in today? So if you were to describe that as a Hollywood movie, how would you describe your current experience in the middle of the 21st century shaping the infrastructure and IT for healthcare?
Wow, as a movie.
Oh. It could also be a Netflix series.
I'm not sure you've seen this movie called The Apprenticeship with Robert De Niro.
Yes.
That is the movie.
Okay.
That is the movie. Because this is about, you know, a guy that gets retired and then joins a startup. And clearly, you know, through, you know, all the experience he has, you know, built can help in all kinds of situations. Well, thank you for the question, because I just realized that this is probably what could be my next step at some point. You know?
Wonderful.
So, Fernando, what's next for you? What's on your next horizon?
What's next? That's maybe, and again, I'm just thinking loud, but I think we all need to have something that can be your next step, right? I'm also not in favor of trying to have your whole career, you know, planned, because of course, I mean, there are so many unknowns and things happening that will probably, you know, bring you to a different place.
What do you enjoy most about the managerial role, right? About being a manager?
As I said earlier, for me, I mean, in all modesty, of course, but what I would like is to really make sure that everything I know, I share it with people. So, and it can be, you know, teaching, it can be any other kind of experience, but I personally believe it's such a waste when we kind of retire, right? And, you know, all this experience, you know, that we have accumulated gets lost.
Well, thanks for your time, Fernando.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Great pleasure.
And same for you. Bye for now. Thanks. You take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Now let's turn to Thomas and Justin for a brief reflection on today's discussion.
Thomas, thank you so much for introducing me to Fernando. I love this guy's energy, and I know people on the podcast won't be able to see it because it's only the audio version, but the expression and the energy and the joy that he has in his life and the work that he does and the contribution he makes is so clear.
Absolutely. For me, Fernando is the kind of boss I'd love to have, or the kind of professor, you know, where he's teaching at the business school, or the kind of lecturer. That's the kind of person I'd like to listen to. What a great opportunity for the people that he's leading and for the difference he's making in their lives. There are many leaders across the world that are into what do I get, what's in it for me. And they're so focused on position, return, and themselves, right? So refreshing to hear Fernando, to see Fernando give. His focus is on contribution. It's on giving. And in that, he makes a real difference.
And you feel it, right? You feel it in his voice that's where his joy comes from, giving back.
Yeah.
To all of our listeners, thank you for listening. Our desire is to explore and contribute to the future of healthcare by applying the principles of Live with Intent.
For more information on the Future of Healthcare Live with Intent podcast, go to www.livewithintent.eu. This podcast is produced by Madeline May.